Parting words. Parting words. So my son is feeling a lot better now. He's had colds and flu and all kinds of stuff for weeks. It feels like we really haven't had a break in our household since before Easter. And one of the new fun games that he started playing is called Take All the DVDs and Blu-rays Out of the TV Stand and Spread Them All Over the Floor. It's a very fun game. And you spread them farther apart for more points, and you hide them for even more points, and you take them out of the covering and rip the covering for even more points. And it's not a fun game, at least not for me. because when I see these things out of place, it just drives me a little bit nuts. But you know what? One day it's gonna be different. Well, I gotta tell you, there was a day when I was answering some emails. It got quiet in the house, and I had Elliot with me, and then there was silence, and it was not the kind of the kind of peace that we hear about in our scripture today, but it was peace and quiet. But silence with a 1.5 year old is dangerous. Is dangerous. And when I looked up from my laptop, what did I see? I saw my son fumbling around with a Blu-ray case with the cover ripped off and this plastic thing that encases it totally ripped in half. And I thought, how is this even possible? I can't even like open up a bag of chips, you know, but he's pulling this thing out of here. And he took the label out, and I decided, you know what, we're going to put these movies back after we tape this one shut. So we had a little game, picking up the movies from the floor, putting them into the cabinet, one after the next. Cinderella and Inside Out and Shrek, Tangled and Frozen and Pocahontas, Mulan, Despicable Me and Bambi, Wreck-It Ralph, The Princess and the Frog, and then finally, we ended up with The Lion King. The Lion King. And I thought, wow, what timing is this? Because the scripture really reminded me of The Lion King for this week. Do you remember The Lion King? Do you remember it? The story of Mufasa, and you may remember that it was voiced by James Earl Jones, you know, his deep husky tone. And his son, Simba, who is voiced by Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who's like 40 years old now. Do you remember JTT from Home Improvement, all this other stuff? Well, there's a part of this movie that really spoke to me as I was reflecting on our scripture for today. Simba and his friend, this young lioness named Nala, they wander out to play somewhere where they're not supposed to be, and then they find themselves in trouble. They find themselves in trouble. They wander outside the plains where the other lions are, and they end up in what is called the elephant graveyard. And it is dangerous, and it is dark, and it is scary. And then they are ambushed by a pack of hyenas. Mufasa, the Lion King, you know, Simba's dad, he miraculously intervenes and saves them from the attack. But afterwards, they have this heart-to-heart under the stars. They talk together. Mufasa tells Simba how he could have lost him and how Simba needs to realize he has responsibilities as the young prince lion, for he will be king someday. Simba doesn't understand that his father won't always be with him. He doesn't get it that his father won't always be at his side. And Mufasa tells him that although he won't physically be with him always, all he has to do is look up at the stars, be reminded that he will be with him. He assures him that he will be never be alone, and that he will be present with him, living on in his heart, connecting across space and time, being present in his words and how he raised him and who he is deep down inside. And these were kind of like his parting words, in a way, imparting this knowledge, this powerful stuff, onto this young, impressionable lion. And as I say, it reminds us, and reminds me, I think, of our story today. Because Jesus, in our scripture, is talking to his disciples. and they don't quite get it, that he's not going to be around now and always. Because he was with them right there and then. They didn't quite understand that he wasn't going to be present with them. And so Jesus shares some words to put them at ease and to help remind them whose they are, who they are, and how he will live on with them even after he's gone. So I want to share a little bit about this with you this morning and what it might mean for us as people of faith and how we can live this out. And the impact of this, I think, because of Memorial Day this weekend. So this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And my daughter recently asked me about all the flags that she's seen near cemeteries. We were driving near Woodlawn not that long ago, and there were flags lining it. And I said, you know, these are a symbol of our country. They're a symbol of freedom. They're a symbol, I think, also of legacy, of the people who have died fighting in wars, in conflicts for our country, for our freedoms, to remind us to remember them. To remind us to remember them when you see these flags. And I've spent a lot of time at cemeteries this year already. And sometimes when you're at a cemetery, you get little glimpses into legacies outside of these flags. Outside of the flags that you see, you get glimpses into people's legacies, the way that they want the world to remember them. And this weekend, the flags remind us of the legacies of military people and their families, and it makes me wonder, what kind of legacy would you like to leave in this world if you have the opportunity? What would you want to live on after you pass? How do you want people to remember you? It's just something to chew on today and this weekend. How would you want your friends and family in the world to remember you? What do you want them to remember about you? I ask this because this is what happens in Jesus' lesson today when he speaks with his disciples. In John 14, part of what's called a farewell discourse in the gospel, Jesus gives this farewell speech to his disciples after the Last Supper, before he would be betrayed, before he would be denied by Peter, before he would be killed, before the resurrection. And he gives parting words to his friends to prepare them for a time he would no longer be with them. And this probably frightened them. They didn't want him to leave. They loved him. They cared about him. They didn't want to see him go, just like we don't want to see our friends and family leave. We don't. And when you think about your own legacy and how you'd like to be remembered, you know, I wonder what really comes to mind. Because Jesus leaves something with his friends and his family, I would say, to put them at ease, to teach them he'll always be with them beyond his death through his Spirit. He says, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the same Spirit that stirs among us today as we sit in this pews, she is going to be with you, reminding you of me and stirring among you. You know, in a couple weeks, we will celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the celebration of the Holy Spirit in just a few Sundays. And we are reminded of Jesus' words of assurance to his disciples in our gospel lesson, that the Spirit will dwell with them even after he departs. That same Spirit is going to live on in his name, in his legacy, after he is gone. And through the Spirit, he will maintain a relationship with not just the disciples, but the people that come after them, and after them, and after them, and us. And Jesus says the disciples have a responsibility too. It's not just this lopsided relationship between he and they, the Spirit and them. Because the Spirit is not a one-sided relationship giver with them. Those who love Jesus and want to continue his legacy and to live his parting words, they have to keep his teachings and his commandments. Not only does Jesus live on through his teachings and his commandments in what he said and what he did and how he calls his disciples to act, but through the Spirit, the still speaking voice of God in the world. His Spirit lives on with them in how they are called to live and be in the world. So basically, Jesus says, I'm going to have a relationship with you through the Spirit, but you must continue to live out my commandments and my teachings in the world, walking and talking and living and speaking like I did. Now, I wonder again about that question of legacy. What do you want to leave behind? How do you want people to remember you? You know, as I spent a lot of time in cemeteries this year, I've seen these brief little quotes or labels on gravestones that sum up someone's life in like two or three words. Mother, sister, brother, friend, father, loving wife, loving husband, loving friend, beloved child, legacy, summed up in one word, a relationship. I wonder if we, as Jesus' disciples, as ones in relationship with him, will share the same legacy. Do we live like he lived? Do we speak as he spoke? Do we treat others as he would treat us? I wonder if our tombstone, in the end of our time, would read, Servant of God. Will we keep his teachings and commandments? Will we live them out so others will know us by how we act and what we speak? Know that we are his followers? Sounds like quite the legacy to leave. When our scripture Jesus offers these parting words of peace to calm the hearts of his disciples further, he leaves them with words of assurance. And this is what I would like to leave us with. He says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In a way, he says that we have peace and assurance even if the world around us is crumbling and we feel lost and hopeless. In a way, we have a rock to anchor to in the storms of life, come what may. He says, Come, know that I've given you my teachings. Know that I've given you my peace, and I continue to speak and teach you. Even though I am going to the Father, I will be with you always. You will never be alone. Be at peace, he says. Now, Jesus taught his friends, and I think he teaches each of us, a way to remember him. You know, and last weekend we celebrated it, and we celebrate this twice a month now, but I think we celebrate it every time that we gather together as a fellowship after worship. In that communion meal, just before he said goodbye to his friends in the story around bread breaking and drinking and spending time together, I think he gives us that as a way of remembering him and continuing his legacy. So every time that we break bread together or drink together, whether here or in this sanctuary space, or in our homes, or a restaurant table, or a park bench, or a hospital bedside, we remember him. We remember him and his legacy, and we remember the meal that he shared with his friends, even though we might not be having communion like we do on a Sunday morning here. We remember the night before he died, and how he taught his disciples to love one another as he loved them, how he taught them, despite everything he would go through, that they would be loved. And in doing so, he teaches us how to remember him and how his spirit, how the spirit that would be with us always, will be with us no matter what. So perhaps this Memorial Day weekend, as we break bread and drink, we ought to remember those who have given their lives that we might be free. For those men, women, siblings who never got a chance to take off the uniform in the same way that our veterans and armed forces personnel do today. I want to leave you with this. Now, near the end of our story in The Lion King, there's a scene that takes place after Mufasa's death. Mufasa gets killed by Scar. Sorry, spoiler alert. Hey, there's a remake coming out of this, you know, I think this summer. But after Simba has run away from his family, when everything seems hopeless, everything seems lost, he goes off to a body of water. He looks into it. And as he looks into this water and peers into what's in front of him, he sees his father in his own reflection, helping him realize that his father lives on in him. His father's spirit is still with him, guiding him and teaching him and helping him, and that he's never truly alone. So today, like the disciples, we remember who we are and who we come from. We are reminded that the Spirit of Jesus is with us now and always. When we conclude our service and enjoy some donuts and coffee and juice and friendship, we remember the meal that he shared with his disciples and the way that he taught them to remember him. And we're reminded of the night when he met with his friends in that upper room and taught them that there would be a time where he wouldn't be with them, but he really still would continue to be on with them. His legacy would live on with them forever, even 2,000 years later with us today. In a way, when Simba peers into that reflection of himself and sees his father, we are reminded, as Jesus' disciples, whose we are and who we are when we recall that moment with his friends. So as we commune together in our fellowship or in our homes, or when you break and spend some time with your families together, whether it is around a picnic table or a grill or wherever, may you remember that although Jesus is not sitting in the pews or maybe right next to you at that picnic, but his spirit of peace is here with us, now and always, and will leave this place with us from now till forever. So peace be with you. Amen.